Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. I want to tell you a little story. There was an old mother who lived in New Orleans who was displaced by Hurricane Katrina. She lost everything that she had, a home, car, family. And when they evacuated her, they sent her to a shelter between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And while she sat there on a cot that they had provided for her, she had been without food and water and the necessities, and she began to cry. She started to shed tears. But while she was crying, she thought on the goodness of the Lord. And she started singing this little song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, help me say that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I need some help. Come on, lift your voice and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on. Jesus, Jesus. Well, a young man walked up to her and said, Mother, why are you calling on Jesus? Shouldn't you be calling on FEMA? Shouldn't you be calling on the Red Cross, Salvation Army? Or better yet, shouldn't you be calling on President Bush and Cheney and those? And she said, son, you don't understand. There's a reason why I'm calling on that name. Because that's the name that's above every name. And she said, there's a reason why I'm calling on that name, Jesus. And you know what she told that young boy? She said, come here, let me tell you why I call on that name. Savior, Savior, Savior. Come on, help me say that.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Anybody know him as the Savior?
Savior, Savior, Savior.
What's his name?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, help me say Savior.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Everybody lift your voice. Savior.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Oh, he's the Savior. The paramedic was rushing by with a stretcher. They had an old man on the stretcher that had a seizure because he couldn't get his medication and his prescription. And she stopped him and said, where are you taking this man? They said, we're trying to get him over to the triage unit and get him some medical attention. She said, let me look at him. And while she was looking at the old man, a young girl came up with a baby in her arm, and the baby had a fever. She said, let me look at the baby, too. And the young boy said, why you want to look at these folks? Why you want to look at these folks? You know what she told him? Healer, healer, healer. That's what the old mother said. Healer, healer, healer. I wish y'all would help me say that up in here. Come on.
Healer, healer, healer.
What's his name? Anybody know him as a healer? Come on.
Healer, healer, healer.
Why don't you wave your hand and say healer?
Healer, healer, healer.
Yeah, he's a healer.
Healer, healer, healer.
What's the Lord's name?
Jesus, Jesus.
Well, about that time there was a big commotion over by the exit door. Folks was rushing over to the exit door to see what was going on. They was making a lot of noise, and somebody sent a note, and it said there were 3 tractor trailers out there with food, water, and medicine, and mother started to really cry now. She really lost it now. And then somebody else sent another note, said there were 2 more tractor trailers that just showed up with dry clothes and pampers and all the other stuff that they needed. And mother just lost it. She just started boo-hooing all over the place. And the young boy walked up to mother and said, "Mother, why are you crying now? You ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be shouting and rejoicing. Why are you crying now?" She said, "Son, once again, you don't understand." You know what she told him? She lifted up her hands. She said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Come on, y'all, help me here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody want to tell him thank you? What's his name? Jesus, Jesus. Why don't y'all help me tell him thank you? Come on, y'all.
Thank you, thank you.
Has he done anything for you? You want to tell him thank you? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, what's his name? Jesus. Come on, lift your hands all over the building. Thank you. I want to tell him thank you. Yeah, I want to tell the Lord thank you. Come on, mighty long way. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's a strong tower. He's a shelter in a time of storm. Be there when things go wrong, yeah. There's power in that name, yes it is. Healing in that name, yeah, yeah. Call his name, y'all. Somebody ought to call him by his name, Jesus. Sing it one more time, Jesus. Jesus. I wish I had some praises in here. Just go touch about 3 folks and tell them all you need to do is call Jesus. All you need to do is call Jesus. Come on, lift your voice and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. All over this place, say Jesus.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up. But right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Imagine starting your day, not just with a cup of coffee or a quick glance at your phone, but with a powerful assurance that today can be extraordinary. Picture yourselves stepping into each moment, fueled not just by your plans and efforts, but by a divine promise of guidance and blessing. If you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a powerful prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. My friends, in the quiet moments of our mornings lies a precious opportunity to shape the hours ahead with hope, grace, and intention. It is in these serene early moments that we find our hearts most open to the whispers of God and where our souls are most receptive to His guiding hand. Let us reflect on the words from Psalm 118, verse 24, which says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This verse isn't just a statement. It's an invitation to align our hearts with a spirit of gratitude and joy. It reminds us that each day is a divine gift, intricately woven with possibilities and opportunities for us to discover and embrace. As we pray for a good day, we are not merely asking for favorable circumstances. We are also seeking to tune in our hearts to the beauty and blessings that each day holds. When we approach our day with prayer, we are not just hoping for the best. We are placing our trust in the one who holds all our days in his hands. We acknowledge that our own strength is limited, but in God, we find an unlimited source of strength, wisdom, and peace. Therefore, our prayer becomes a powerful testament to our faith, a declaration that we choose to rely on God's promises and His unfailing love to guide us through the day. As we face the unknowns of the day with courage, we ask not just for the absence of trouble, but for the presence of God's peace that surpasses all understanding. This peace becomes our steady companion, guiding our thoughts, words, and actions, turning ordinary moments into extraordinary encounters with God's grace. As we seek God for a good day, we seek to align our will with God's will. It is in this sacred exchange that we find the essence of a truly good day, one that is not measured merely by worldly successes, but also by how closely we walk with the Lord. It's about seeing His hand in every detail, feeling His presence in every challenge, and hearing His voice in the quiet whispers of our hearts. So, my friends, let us come together in prayer, not only wishing for a better day, but as a powerful act of faith and surrender. Let us pray with hearts full of hope, trusting that God is with us, guiding our steps and turning every day into a testament of His love and faithfulness. Today, as we seek a good day, let's remember that it begins here, in this moment of prayer, where heaven touches earth and your heart finds true joy in the Lord's embrace. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and earth, I come before you with a heart full of praise and thanksgiving. Your majesty and glory are beyond comprehension, and your love for us is unending. I exalt your holy name and acknowledge your sovereignty over all things. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and in your presence I find true peace and fulfillment. Lord, I thank you for this new day, a precious gift from your generous hands. I am grateful for the breath in my lungs, the strength in my body, and the opportunities that lie ahead. Your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness is as boundless as the sky. For the love and grace that you have given to me and my loved ones, I am eternally thankful. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth and in my life, as it is in heaven. As I stand in your presence, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, both known and unknown. Cleanse my heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness or resentment, for in forgiveness I find freedom. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare victory over my day. I seek your guidance and wisdom in every decision I make. Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Enlighten my mind with your divine insight and help me discern your will in all things. In every conversation, every interaction, in every choice, let your wisdom be my guide. Lord, I ask for your strength and courage in moments of weakness. Be my fortress. When I face trials and tribulations, be my rock. Let your courage fill my heart, enabling me to overcome obstacles and stand firm against the winds of adversity. I'm grateful that in your strength, I can achieve all things. For with you, all things are possible. I pray for your peace to surround me today. Let it guard my heart and mind. In the midst of chaos, let your peace reign. Let it be a beacon of hope to those around me, a testament to your calming presence in my life. Protect me, Lord, from all harm. Be my shield and defender against the schemes of the enemy. Keep me and my loved ones safe under the shadow of your wings. Deliver us from all evil and lead us away from temptation. Protect us in our going out and our coming in, today and forevermore. I pray for health and well-being, not just for myself, but also for my loved ones. Heal us from every sickness and disease. Mend what is broken within us, and revive what has grown weary. I thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician, the healer of all our ailments, and in your hands there is restoration and peace. Your word says that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, and I claim that promise over our lives today. I pray for deliverance from the spirits of fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and discouragement, and ask for your powerful intervention to break these chains and set me free in the name of Jesus. Lord, prosper the work of my hands. Open doors of opportunity and bless my goals and aspirations. May your abundance flow in my life, and let me be a blessing to others. In your loving kindness, I ask that you meet my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, fill me with your love and compassion. Let me be a vessel of your grace, showing kindness and understanding to everyone I encounter. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all forms of attacks by the enemy. I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I bind the spirit of delay, disappointment, and stagnation in the name of Jesus. I rebuke bonds of oppression and any plans of the enemy to derail your purpose for my life. Lord, as I say this prayer together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now, as we come in agreement, praying for each other. Let your Holy Spirit move among us, touching every life, healing every wound, and fulfilling every need. In your infinite grace, we ask that you align your blessings to meet us right where we are. May your favor be upon us. May your protection surround us, and may your peace dwell within us. We declare that everything is working for us and not against us. Deliver us from all accidents and negative incidents. We are grateful that your goodness and mercies shall follow us all the days of our lives. Gracious Lord, we pray that you will help us to have a good day today. We claim victory over our challenges, declare healing over our bodies, and we thank you for your unwavering protection. As this day ends, we return with hearts full of thankfulness for every lesson learned, for every blessing received. We give you glory. Lord, may your Holy Spirit guide us, comfort us, and empower us in all our ways. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word amen in the comments section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you, in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons and spread the gospel. You can do this by sharing the video with a friend or family member and by clicking the like button. Also remember to subscribe to our channel, Daily Jesus Prayers, for more videos that will bless your heart and uplift your spirit. We appreciate all your support. You're blessed to be a blessing. Please feel free to leave your prayer request in the comments section so that we can present them before God for your blessings and victory, and so that other believers on the YouTube platform and all over the world can join us and start praying for you right now. Stand in faith with us while we pray. To God be all the glory. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Blessings and glory. radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I just want to praise you forever and ever for all you've done for me. Ooh, blessings and glory. Hallelujah. It all belongs to you. We thank God this morning for another Wednesday morning. Some people call it hump day. They call it the middle of the week. We're headed into the weekend. Hallelujah. And God has blessed us to come from Saturday all the way to Wednesday. Yeah, we're into a new week, and we thank him. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is May the 8th, 2024, 5 months and 8 days into this new year. I tell you, it looked like we just celebrated Christmas a few days ago. Hallelujah. And already we are into the month of May, headed into summer. And we thank God for the opportunity to be here. Thank God for the chance to share the good news of Jesus. Jesus is good news this morning. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one that God sent because he so loved us that if we'll believe on Jesus, we won't perish but have everlasting life. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. We appreciate him. We thank you. And we love him today because he first loved us all. And so again and again and again, we thank him. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be talking about who are you following? Think about that now. Who are you really following? Do we give more to God or do we give more to what and who we're following? It's important to know these things today. Because of this, whoever you yield more to, that's who is your God, believe it or not. Whoever you give more attention to, that's your God. Yeah. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we're new creatures in him, our life should be hid in him. And we don't follow the crowd. We that's just something we don't do. And today we give more leadership in our lives to Jesus. We let him lead and guide us in all that we do. But many of us, we're trying to hold the reins so that we can look a certain way, so that we can make people think a certain way about us. But today, my most important one to think more of me or think about me and what I'm doing and that I really want to impress, which I don't have to impress him because he knows me, and that is Jesus. Yeah, he leads and guides. The Spirit of God leads and guides into all truth. It shows us the way to go. It shows us when, where, and how. Now, in this life, there are things we have to do. Many people watch the news so they can know what's going on. I watch the scriptures. Oh, wait a minute, Barbara. Wait a minute. That happened so many years ago. He gave them that he had to write, he inspired them years ago. But it's yet alive and relevant today. So I'm watching the word of God. I'm watching the scriptures unfold before my very eyes. Men would become lovers of themselves. Yeah. It's not about him. It's about how I feel and what I want to do. It's the way that the world is going. And many say we're following Jesus, but we're not. We're following the ways of the world. Yeah. I know not to go into a store and act like a donkey. I know better. And that's not following the world. That's following the word of God. Yeah. And all my getting, he said, to get understanding. I understand how the Holy Spirit moves. I understand who Jesus is. I understand how I'm to behave in the public. Yeah, I understand this. And it makes no difference of your race, your nationality, what culture you're in. That makes no difference. Jesus died for all. And if we're in him and he's in us, we have the ways of Jesus. I'm no longer a Barbara, I'm of Jesus. So today our topic is, who are you following? Who is it that you really follow? Are you going with the majority? Because wide is the road that leads to destruction. And it's crowded. Yeah. Narrow is the road that leads to him, and few there be. There's not a lot of many, a lot of people on that narrow road, because it's leading to him. And many today, they don't want to say Jesus. They don't want to say Jehovah. They talk about everything else, but when it comes to the name, they won't say it. My God, or the God I serve, or whatever. But the name of Jesus has power, power to save us. It's a name where the righteous can run in and be saved. You can call on that name and be spared from evil. I have to use the name Jesus. He's for me and I'm for him today. So who are you following? Think about that thing for a minute. Because a lot of us, we live on the internet. We live on Facebook. When Facebook, I first joined and I saw all this stuff about people, I thought what they put out there was true. But I found out it's to impress others. I found out they lying. It's a place where they can perform who they really want to be when they're really not that person. Everything many of them do, they post it on Facebook. Every little thing goes to Facebook because that's their platform, that's their stage, and they're performing. Again, this morning, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we got him, we got to live truthfully. Because again, our lives are hid in him. And today, there are so many places and things saying it is of God and even his son, Jesus. Looking and hearing what goes on in these places are not that thing. It's not the things of Almighty God. What you see, God is not there or in any of it. Many follow the crowds or what is popular, never investigating or considering God, because we trust people more than we trust God. This morning, we're going to look at the book of Matthew's. The fourth chapter, paying close attention to the 19th verse. Now, this was the same thing from what I talked about yesterday. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he come out of the fast, the devil was waiting on him. And the devil wanted to tempt him with all these things. But Jesus continued to let him know, it is written. He let that devil know, it is written. He told him, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Oh yeah, he talked to that devil. And see, the devil don't really like what's real. He don't like the fact that he can't trick you. And he'll stay as long as you allow him to. But this is what Jesus told him in chapter 4 and verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look what happened. Then the devil leaveth him. The devil left then because he didn't have no wind. He couldn't tempt Jesus. He couldn't get him to fall into temptation. So he left him then, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And we got to speak to that devil. We got to rebuke him and put him in his place. His place is not in the hearts and minds of the people of God, the saints of God, the followers of Christ. That's not where he's supposed to be dwelling. So the minute he come and speak negativity to us, we rebuke him right there and put the word of God to him. Verse 12 says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was written, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Verse 16 says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Hallelujah. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Let me tell you something. It makes no difference who you are, where you are, what you have done, what you're doing right now, and what you think you may do later on. When Jesus show up on the scene, light comes. And if you receive the light, light will spring up in you. You'll have a whole nother way of thinking. You no longer desire the old things. You want to desire this new light that has sprung up in you. Because light shined in darkness and darkness comprehended it not. But guess what? Jesus can bless us to comprehend him being the light of the world. Daily, we must remember this. He's the light of the world, and the light is in us. I don't care what they said, because they will say a lot of things. They will say you're no good, you never amount to nothing. They will say your credit is not good enough. They will say that we got to fire you, we got to let you go, we got to lay you off on the job. That's what they said. But how many know God have the last word concerning you? I have gone for an interview to get a job. They said no. But God said yeah. So what happened? All of a sudden, hold on, wait a minute. You know, I was looking at this. I was thinking about this. And I'd like to bring you on board. And let's just try this. You see how that changed? They said no. He said yes. Who's winning? He is. Almighty God that have all power. And when we pray, I want to remind us he hear us the first time. I'm a living witness. I was going through some things spiritually. And it come to me. Pray until you see results. Focus. Talk to him. Because the enemy come in like a flood. We'll forget that it's him that will raise the standard. Because this is going on, that's going on, this is going on, that is going on, that is going on, this is going on, this is going on. And it's just affecting your thoughts. But we take time out and stop ourselves. And talk to him. I told him this day, I will not let the sun go down without me getting in the word. Because you need to go see about this one. And you need to go see about that one. And then your own brother. And then this one calling. And that one saying. And the things they telling me, that it's terrible things. But it's not terrible to an all-powerful, all-knowing God. That's nothing for him. Because with him, all things are possible. Healing is possible. I know they diagnosed you with cancer. I know they gave you 3 weeks to live. But he can turn all of that around and give you 30 more years. He can totally heal your body. When they get through checking you again, examining you again, that's not a cancer trait in your body. We talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God, the one that we are following. Many say they're Christians, but they're not truly following Jesus. They're following man. They're following what man has taught them, what man told them. I got to follow Jesus. And abide by what he has said. Yeah. I was looking at, you know, people follow all kind of stuff. And if you prophesy and they know it's true, because all it is confirmation of what they already been told or felt or thought about, they'll run you down. But the minute you're no longer prophesying, the minute they don't think what you're saying is true. And it can be true, but they don't want to hear that. They want something for itchy ears. They want something to soothe them. They no longer want to be bothered. But this is the truth. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is true. It's pure. It's a shield unto them that put their trust in it. See, if you don't trust the word, it can't shield you. If you don't trust the word, it can't bless you. If you don't trust the word, it won't work miracles in your life. You don't believe. You don't trust it. But if God spoke it, I don't care if it was 400 years ago, it's true. If it was 2,000 years ago, it's yet true today. He's not a lying God. And if we're following Jesus Christ, we're going to do the things that he did. We're going to pray and ask God to let this mind be in us that was also in his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. So now we got him and light has sprung up in us. Verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. See, at one time, men would sin and God would wink at them. But today, he commands everybody to repentance. Everybody, the Pope, the preacher with the largest ministry, he commands everybody to repentance. And me, I'm one that repent daily, all day, as often as I think about it. I ask God to forgive me, help me, Lord. Don't let this find me here. Don't let me find that there. Lord, I don't want you to see this in me. I want you to clean me and give me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Whatever's in my heart that is evil, whatever's in there that's not pleasing and acceptable unto you, remove it out of my heart, because that's what God deal with. Let your spirit rule and reign in my heart. Help me to think the right thoughts. Don't let me just think crazy. Don't just let me be out there. Don't let me forget that you speak to men. Because sometimes God is speaking and the people think it's me. And many days I can't say, oh, you done forgot. I can't say nothing. I just have to shut up or just go on. Why? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Almighty God. Jesus is the one that suffered and died, not me. I'm learning more and more. This morning while I'm on this, I'm going to share this right quick, and then we're going on down to verse 18 and 19 and 20. But listen, I want to share this morning. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your friends. Maybe they have turned their back on God. Maybe they went away from him. Maybe they say, I can't do this no longer. I don't want to think about God. I'm going on and do my thing. You may see the results of them doing their own thing, but continue to pray. Don't give up. Don't give up on your children. Continue to pray. Don't give up on your family. Now, this don't mean you have to call them every day. You have to associate with them all the time. You got to be at the family reunion. It don't mean any of that. It just means that you want them to be saved and walking upright before Almighty God, Jehovah, that have all power. Lord, you clean me up. You save me. Do it for my family. Do it for my children. Because a lot of times what they saw us do, they're doing it. the way they think that we are, they're doing it. Keep them in prayer. Don't give up on them, because God did not give up on us. Hallelujah. So who are you following this morning? Think about it. Who are you really following this morning? So in 17, it teaches from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 18 says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Right here, it don't say they were fishermen. It said they were fishers. 19 says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Because they was fishing for the natural fish. I love trout. I love croaker. I love whiting. I love Alaskan cod. I love sardines. I love tuna. So they was fishing for all these different kind of fish. Not just what I like, but what others are like. And Jesus told them, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, not just fishers of the sea, natural fish. But I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you where you will have a desire to talk of my wondrous works and make known my deeds among the people. I'll make you so you'll talk about the Father who so loved you that he gave me. Yeah, that he sent me to ask you to follow me. I will make your life better than it has ever been. Your life will never be as great as I will make it. Follow me. This morning, let's follow Jesus. Let's stop following our own selves. Let's stop following what liars say. Let's stop following what false preachers and teachers are saying. Let's stop following these things that the world is presenting to us. Let's follow Jesus, because he's going to lead you and guide you into what's right. He's going to make you a fisher of men. He's going to make you a disciple. He's going to make you to be the one that have love for your family, your friends, the world, strangers, co-workers. They did you wrong over here. You're going to forgive them quickly. And you're going to begin to pray for the ones that did you wrong. You're going to agree with your adversary quickly, so there'll be no trouble, no strife, no fight, no arguing, no fussing. Verse 20 said, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Anybody been in a situation where you was headed to do something else, but you heard Jesus? You didn't hear an audio voice, but the thought come in you strong. And you said, no, I'm not going down there. I'm going to do this over here. And when you did that over there, you found out that was God, and what you did, it caused you to be blessed. They told you they was going to cut your electric off, and you wasn't really worried, but you was somewhat overthinking. And you was thinking, well, I don't want to call John Brown to borrow money because I have to pay it back. I don't want to go to the social services agency because it's hard to get through on the phone to make an appointment. But God showed you what to do. He told you what to do. You didn't even really know that was him. But you did the thought that come in you strong. And it worked together for your good. I've known people to get payday loans. They never thought about getting a payday loan. And really, they were somewhat fearful of it. And they wasn't quite sure what it would bring and interest on it. And, oh, wow, I might be in debt forever. But it came on them strong, do it. They didn't see another way. They went on and got the payday loan. paid the bill, and God blessed them to pay every dime back and interest. And they never had to continue weekly or biweekly to get a payday loan. He brought them out. It was a resource at the time he used, but it wasn't something he continued to have you to do. He's got all kind of ways to bless us if we'll follow him. So straightway they left the net and followed him. 21 says, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Sometime we may be with family working. Sometime we may be with family watching a movie, but God called you out. And all of a sudden, the movie don't interest you no more. You got to walk in another room or the bathroom, or you got to go outside. Because he's calling you, and straightway, you want to follow him. Now, look what happened when they was in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. 22 says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They didn't haggle with it. They didn't overthink it. They just done it. They just obeyed. And that's another part of us. We got to work on obeying God quickly. You can tell people, oh, I wouldn't do that like that. The scriptures say, I know, but I'm going to do it quick. And stop right then. Immediately stop. And follow what Jesus said. Yeah, because we'll try to override it. We'll try to get around the scripture. And that word, but, we use that a lot. But, no, God don't use all of that. Well, it might be that. No, ain't no might. He don't even use maybe. It's either yes or no, up or down, over or under, front or back, left or right. Love or hate, peace or war. This is the way that God do it. Now, man will come in and give all that to you. Well, maybe, or it could. No, God ain't going to trick you. He is straight up and down. Yeah, he don't cut corners. It is what it is. And we need to work on that as well. So, and they immediately, verse 22, left the ship and their father, and followed him. We got to quickly let go and let people go and follow Jesus. I know I came up in the Jehovah's Witnesses, and if I leave the church or the witness hall, I'm going to lose my family. Bye, 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 bye. Bye, 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 bye. Goodbye. I got to follow Jesus. My family, not his hall, can save me. On that great and notable day when I stand before him, I got to stand for me, not for the hall, not for my family. But you don't understand, I was raised Muslim, Barbara. We don't eat pork. We pray to Allah. We put this cloth on the ground and we get down and we bow. Listen, if he's calling you out, immediately, quickly, straightway, come out of there. Because you won't stand for the temple. And you won't stand for the Muslim faith. When you stand before God, it would just be you and him and the movie you have recorded all your life. Where you the star, you the leading actor in the role. Come out. The scripture even teaches us, come out from among them and be separated. Let him be your God and you'll be his people. Straightway follow him. Immediately follow him. He'll take care of the hall and he'll take care of your family. He'll take care of the temple and he'll take care of your family. He'll take care of the other Muslims. You just begin to pray. Folks will begin to come out of that. Been in that 30 years. You never thought they'd leave. But once you got saved, once you got salvation, once whom the Son set free made you free, Jesus, and you begin to pray, he can turn everything around, that it will work together for your good, because he called you and you love him. 23 says this, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I know you heard me pray that prayer. Father, you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it for your people today in the name of Jesus. I know you heard me pray that. If you're an old-timer, old-timer, you done heard me say it. This is what Jesus was doing, and we learn from him. He had all power. He rose with all power. There's nothing too hard for him to do. It's hard for us because with man, it's impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. I heard what they said on the job. They were going to give you the pink slip. They had to let you go. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. I understand all of this, but greater is he that lives within you than he that's in the world. Follow Jesus. Not that you've been laid off. Not that your bills are due. Follow Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. With him, all things are possible this morning. And to be honest with you, every morning. He know where you live. He know what you're going through. He know the very intent of your heart. He know how many hairs are on your head. He know who you're related to. He know your children because he made them all for his pleasure. But we have to learn to let go. We must learn, stop following people. Follow Jesus. If you look out here, many of what they call the mega ministries, these places are falling. Well, let me go here too. The leadership of these places are falling. Why? They stopped following Jesus. They could have started off following Jesus. And then they let the devil get in their ear through people. And they're hearing all these great things about themselves. So they started falling away from Jesus, and they stop following him. Anybody ever heard the scripture that your sin will find you out? Nobody have to tell on you. It's what you're doing that will cause everybody to know who you really are. The things that you think people don't know about you is the very thing they know. We've had some to commit suicide. They killed themselves. One pastor said he was depressed. How you a pastor in leadership and you depressed and you don't go to Jesus for healing? What happened? You never believed. You wanted to have a platform. You wanted to build your own empire. You was using those names, God, Jesus, love. You was using that, but you wasn't believing it. You was telling others and praying for others to be healed, but you didn't believe for your own healing. This is why it's important to be careful who you follow. Please. Is wolves in sheep clothing. They look like sheep, like the men and women of God, but really they are of the devil. And they come to do their daddy what he called them to do. They obeying their daddy. We're trying to learn to obey our Father, which is God, Jehovah God, that have all power. There's no higher power. The one that so loved us, he gave his only begotten son. The one that come down to be with us. The one that sent his only begotten son for us. So we must be careful who we follow. Don't follow the crowd. Please don't follow the crowd. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and it's crowded on that road. But narrow is the way to Jesus, and few there be. It's not a lot of people. Every now and then you'll pass somebody on that narrow road who's going to Jesus. And sometimes he will allow us to fellowship for a season. And then he'll send them on their way, send you on your way, because they have their work to do and you have your work to do. I looked at Apostle Paul. Look at how many places he visited. He didn't stay there forever. He went up through Philippi. He went up through Corinth. He went over to Ephesus. He went many places. But he didn't stay. And many times we're going to go places, but we can't stay. Our work don't allow, because that's not where our assignment ends. You heard me talk about I lived in the project, the government housing. It was called Hilltop. That was my assignment. That was not where I was going to stay forever. It was a place that I stayed for 7 years. Since God called me out, I had never stayed in a place, one place, that long. Never. He blessed me to go to Orlando. He blessed me to go to Georgia. He blessed me to go to Alabama, Indiana, Missouri, Alaska, and many places, many different other cities inside of these states. But I never stayed there forever. When the assignment ended, when the work was done, he moved me on. Sometimes I didn't know the day when I would leave. I got in there, sometimes it felt like I wouldn't leave. But all of a sudden, immediately, let's go. Sometimes the night before, he would have me to pack my stuff. I didn't have a destination on my mind. I didn't know where I was going, but by morning, I already knew. By morning, I knew where I was going. Many times I didn't know what to expect, but I went on in Jesus' name. When I got there, he showed up, and I showed out, hallelujah, in him, because now I know he sent me. This is my assignment, get it done. Some things he did and he sent me, not because of the people, but to teach me. Oh, glory to his name. Hallelujah. I had never had anybody on the road with me before. Been through the storm and lots of rain. Never nobody there. I would go alone. See, because listen, I was going to do things nobody else would do. I was going in places nobody wanted to go, nobody would go. So to have somebody with me, they would grumble and complain and didn't even know it. So he didn't send nobody. Then finally, he sent one person. But she couldn't stay because she lived in Texas. And she had a family, and she was still having children. And, you know, doing the things that pleased her husband, so she couldn't be there. So finally, he sent one person. I was shocked. And a lot of things he blinded my eyes to, because he know had I known, I would have resisted. I would have been praying, no, Lord, please, Lord, don't do it. God, please. He blinded me. And he knew, staying in there blinded, I was going to obey him. I was going to love the person. Hallelujah. You see, so when the blinders come off, I love the person because I love God. What you going to do? You going to obey him to the fullest. Ah, oh, what a blessed God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. the heaven and the earth. And the, oh, Yahshua. Hey, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And we serve him because we serve others. We're fishers of men. If you're not fishing, what are you doing? He wished that none should perish. What you, the harvest is plenty. What you doing? Are you going to sit on the pew every week for you and yours? Are you going because you put your name on the church roll and you want to show them what you start, you're finished? He said, follow me. He didn't say, follow the building. He didn't say, follow them that come into the building. He didn't say, follow the pastor and the pastor's wife. He said, follow me. He didn't tell you nothing about what. No. We got to follow him. And I say it, and I know people think, oh, she arrogant. Oh, she thinks she's something. Oh, she thinks she the only one right. She thinks she the only one going to heaven. The devil is a fool and a liar, and to make a fool and a liar out of us if we allow him to. But check this out. I promise you. If you've been here, Jesus in the Morning, radio talk show, if you've been through here, if you're coming here faithfully, if you've been prayed for through here, let me tell you, I don't care what you say. Well, it wasn't a result. It wasn't what you was looking for, but God answered. But this is the deal. You are some kind of special to God. Hey, hallelujah, Jesus. You are some kind of special to him. When I tell you he loves you, when I tell you God loves you, he loves you. Because guess what he did? He put somebody in place just for you. Think about it. Just for you, he put this in place. Not everybody can come here. Not everybody can come here and stay. Many have come through here, but they had to go on. Some came for one time. Some came for different reasons. Some came to advertise their business. They didn't come because they felt this is where they needed Jesus in the morning. That morning, especially. But if he blessed you to come here and you were able to stay, I'm telling you, you're some kind of special to Almighty God. I'm not arrogant. I don't think my ministry is the only ministry that's right. I don't think I'm the only one got God. I don't think I'm the only one that know all about God. I know everything. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not who I am. Because over here, it's all about God and his son Jesus and his word. That's what it's about over here. I can't take his glory. I can't think I'm more than I should. When even my righteousness is as filthy rags, I'm nothing without him. But because he lives, hallelujah, I am because he lives. The songwriter said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow and any other day that come my way. Because he's in me and I'm in him. And as long as I'm following him, it's already all right. But again, this morning, you belong to him. And again, this morning, he wants to bless you and give you uncommon miracle, uncommon favor, uncommon blessings. And because your allegiance to him and your obedience unto him, he can't do nothing but bless you. It may not be in the way that you're looking. It may not be in the way that you expected, but you're yet blessed. And you're not going nowhere because you shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. I don't care how old you are. You could be 102. But if you come here, God has something for you. He have work for you. Again, the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. He have blessings with your name on them. He have miracles with your name on them and your name is attached too. Because other people miracles, he have attached you to so much that you will be blessed from it. Do you work? Are you getting a paycheck? You've been attached. That the job can bless you financially. It's a rare occasion you hear me teach about tithes and offering. I don't really teach that. I teach obedience. I teach follow him. It's an automatic thing. The blessings are automatic when you obey, when you follow him. When you obey his word, the blessings automatically fall. You hear me say more about being a cheerful giver than anything else, basically. When you cheerfully give, he will give you unexpected things, unexpected blessings, unexpected miracles, unexpected favor. You went to work, you wasn't even looking for that. They call you in the office. Hey, come here, let me talk to you for a minute. We hadn't noticed this in a while, but we noticed that you're still doing this, and this, and it is growing, and it has grown, and we got this, and this more now because you did this, and this. So I want to tell you, we have a bonus for you this week when you get your paycheck. It's not the yearly bonus. It's just a bonus of appreciation, just to show you we appreciate you a little bit. Now, you was looking for a $700, $600 paycheck, maybe more. I don't know, maybe less. But this week, when you got that paycheck was like $1,500, $2,000. And you're like, what the what? He gave you uncommon blessing. He gave you a small, uncommon miracle, because that's the way people look at it. But it's huge, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to bring you up for a memorial before him and bless you. He didn't have to, but he did. We want to follow Jesus, because he's leading us back to the Father. He went away. To prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also one day. He's leading us back to the Father if we'll follow him. I don't want to follow man and be with the crowd. I don't want to do what the world do, because all of this is going to fail. Wide is that road, and you on that wide road, you're going to hell. That's just the bottom line of it. If you're on that narrow road, you headed to God. You headed to heaven. We preparing daily for it. This is why I come every morning, to remind us. Again, I want to go back to this right quick. Call me arrogant. Call me whatever you want or not. But you get this daily. You get reminded daily that heaven is where you want to be. You get reminded daily that hell is not where you want to be. You get reminded daily that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You get reminded daily that he loves you, and he sent his son to prove it to you. Not all ministers do this every day. Not all radio talk shows talk like this every day. And some people say, well, I want to go over there. She talks about the same thing over and over, but where you're at, they changing things every time you go. But through the week when you're home, what's happening? Are you still fornicating? Are you still being tempted and falling into temptation? What you doing? But here it causes you to keep your mind on it. It causes you to delight yourself in him. It causes you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It's up to you if you don't do it, but it's here. It should cause you to grow in him. And then some people they feel like they're being told what to do. But it's the word that's telling you what to do. It's God here that's telling you what to do. And if the word don't convict you, it's not the word. If it don't cut you, it's not the word. If it don't make you straighten up and fly right, Doc, it's not the word. Dr. Goodman, it don't put pillows and cushions down. So when you fall on the pillows and the cushions. It causes you to fall on your knees in repentance. It calls you to fall on your knees asking for deliverance from Almighty God Jehovah that have all power. That's what the word do for you. The things of God causes this effect in your life. And if he's in you and you in him and he's already filled you with his spirit, you understanding these things. You're like, Lord, I need you to help me, God. I'm not quite there yet. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord, forgive me. Many of you get to yourself and cry out to the Lord. Many of you get to yourself and say, I want to be this way, Lord. I want to be like Jesus. I don't know how, but if you help me, I can be like your son. Let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. He just wanted to do your will. He wanted to fulfill your will. He wanted to obey you. By obeying you, he was a blessing, more than a blessing, unto the people. Unto my Jesus, to me, was an uncommon miracle. He came seeking that which is lost. And I don't care how much we read the Bible and how much we pray and how much we go to church and how much we heek a Messiah. You saw him on the Kawasaki. He coming in the Mitsubishi. Tongue speaking. I don't care how much we do all of that. We must obey him. We must obey his word. We must follow him and become fishers of men. That's the bottom line. Because he wished none should perish. He need workers into the vineyard. Again, this morning, we pray that the Lord will send more laborers into the vineyard. But again, this morning, we want to remember what he called or chose us for. And if we don't know, we want to remember to go to him, asking him to teach us, to show us, Lord, what did you choose me for? What did you call me to? Some people say, Lord, what was I born for? What is my purpose in this life? Have patience to wait on God. He'll show you. Most times, it's that thing you like most. Most times, it's that thing you like doing. If Dr. Goodman had five more hands, she'd be dangerous. Ooh, she would be dangerous. Why? These things she like doing, I know she's overextended. But what she liked to do is her ministry. She may not even know that. She may not even know that. But it's your ministry. Listen, when I first came in 2010, I didn't know. I knew I was an evangelist, but I didn't know about all this other stuff. I didn't know about pen pal ministry and what. And he showed me. He showed me. And then I put all my little ducks in the basket. And I'm only one person. But he showed me how to get it done, being one person. When I first came in 2010 to Jesus in the Morning, I didn't really know I liked this kind of platform or that I even really like doing this kind of thing. I prayed the prayer of faith. I was looking for a prayer room just to have prayer every morning and people could come and we all pray. Matter of fact, we take turns praying. I didn't know. I didn't know already had this set up. I couldn't remember when did I set this up. But I went in and I didn't know what I was doing. I started fiddling around with it. Rose Brown, I just started fiddling around with things and seeing what the studio do. After a little while, I found out I loved it. I enjoy doing it. I enjoyed it so much, I was doing it 7 days a week. You couldn't stop me. I was unstoppable. People started coming, other radio hosts that were saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled from Blog Talk started coming to the show because they heard the word. They heard the truth, and nobody was out there as raw as I was. I'm talking about I give it to you just like it was. Think what you want, do with it what you want, say what you wanted about me. I know God was using me, and here it is. I was following him, following his lead. Here it is. In August, 14 years later, I'm still here. People said, this one man said, that if I was not of God, I wouldn't last. 14 years, he gone, but 14 years later, I'm here. Brother Louis came. And when Louis came, Louis started doing things in the chat room I had never saw before. He started teaching me things. Oh, that's a spy bot right there. These bots would come. People, they would come and say, I open the studio, good morning, God bless you, how are you? There's one person coming to this day, I still laugh, and I had to ask the people to forgive. He come and he said, now listen, if you're constipated, I clicked him off of that. Louis, see, that's a culture. That's a spy bot. That's one of them people go around trying to distract. Oh, they would get in there and ask all kind of crazy questions, and the Lord gave me this. And look, until this day, I don't have it. They ran away from me. I prayed the prayer of faith, and I put in there, do not come to disagree or to fight with anybody. We don't do that over here. If you come with that, I will delete you. One time, Connie Chong came. And I didn't find this out until recently. She was connected to something like TikTok. Or it could have been TikTok, but it was, I hadn't heard of it yet. And when I tell you, groves of thousands of people was running through that chat room. The chat room was just running, running, names running, running. And a lot of those people said they were atheists. And when they read what I put in there about that fighting and arguing and we don't do that over here, they would just run through that. One man stayed. And he texted me in the chat and wrote in the chat, God didn't call a woman. God won't use a woman like that. And I, you know, wrote back to him, we're neither flesh nor blood. We're not woman or man when we get up. As God leads and guides, we following him. It's him, it's not us. He called into the show and pressed that number one, and I let him in. And this is what he said to me, and it was sincere, a sincere question. He was like, lady, you really believe God called you? I said, yes, I do. I said, and not only do I believe it, but I know he did. And I went on to say a few other things, and he went on to say a few things, and we ended it. This man just sat there and listened from that point on. He did not disturb anything. He didn't say no more. He let me see, I'm not the devil. This is what I believe, that women should be silent. But today you're proving to me some things. Yeah, all kind of stuff took place. But guess why I'm still here? Hey, glory to his majesty. I followed Jesus. And I'm still following Jesus. This week, starting off, boy, that I'm telling you, this body felt so bad. I don't get sick. Now, I might get lazy. But I don't get sick and I don't feel bad. But starting this week off, I felt bad. And yesterday morning, the devil was going to show me I was being affected. I had these little pains in my head. Every now and then I feel a shooting pain. While I'm opening the show up, I said, well, I just fall dead right here because I'm an old babe. I just have to fall dead right here. See, because he come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if he could stop me, he would have. And he would, but he can't. I serve Almighty God that have all power. All power is for me. And he said, if he be for me, he's more than the whole world against us. Oh, yeah. God is faithful. And he's love, and he love us. Hallelujah. Look, in 23 it said, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching and in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. 24, and look, this is how he could do it among the people, because he made us all for his pleasure. He didn't have to pick and choose, well, I'm going to heal the Jews and I won't heal the Gentiles. Oh, you Greek, I can't heal you. Oh, you African, I can't heal you. He healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people. The woman with the issue of blood touched him. The man by the pool, he said, well, will you be made whole? Yeah, when they let the man down through the house so he could be healed, that's what God did. When he told the man, he put the spit in the dirt, mixed it together and put it on the man's eyes, told him to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. He didn't ask what nationality he was. He told him to go down there and wash his eyes so he could be clean. They could get clean so he could see. When he went over there to the temple, they was over there selling stuff in there and acting a donkey. He turned everything over. He turned it out in there. He gave them the business. I told him, this not his father's house wasn't a den of thieves, but his house was the house of prayer. When he went in there, he didn't say, oh, hold up a minute. What nationality are you? Who are you? What did? Mm-mm. He already knew. He's the son of God and he is God. Hallelujah. They're one. That's what the scripture says. That's not what I said, but I believe. So 24 says this, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them that were taken with divers diseases, diabetes, AIDS, all kind of stuff. That back then they said there was no cure for it. But see, there's nothing new again this morning under the sun. Those that were tormented and those which were possessed with devils. Because see, when you got demons in you, they torment you. You hearing good stuff, and you wish you could hold on to it, but here come these tormenting spirits, and you go to acting a donkey. And those which were lunatic, those that had lost their minds, crazy. Yeah, I said it, crazy. And those that had palsy, and he healed them. Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. You can call these things out of people. You can pray for them. You can pray for all manner of sickness and disease, and he'll do it in the name of Jesus. But you got to do it believing. When you tell them demons to come out, you got to mean it in the name of Jesus and not stand in fear. But stand in the same authority that caused Jesus to rise from the dead. Oh, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, today. 25 says, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. If you look at that map, you're going to get to see Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and beyond Jordan. But if you look at Jordan, you're going to see a whole bunch of things. We talking about Jesus this morning. And we asking ourselves, who are we following? And why am I following this foolishness? Because if it's not Jesus, it's nonsense. It's foolishness. If it is not God, it can't help us. It can only hurt us. Listen, people have promoted on the job and got a big position. They got it without God, but it's a rough situation. They get the pay. But, oh, Lord, it's just so, oh, it's hard, it's this, it's that. In the church, you get a bigger position in the church. Okay, they done graduated you now from being a minister. Now you're becoming an elder, or you're becoming an evangelist, a pastor, whatever. That next position in Jesus is better than where you was. You're a lot more freer. See, let me tell you something. As a minister in the same church that you're going every Sunday, you got to be careful. The pastor going to show up to the same church with the same congregation every Wednesday and every Sunday. And whatever other days you're having stuff at the church. He got to be careful what he say. When I tell you he got to be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled all up in Jesus. He got to fast. He got to pray. Oh, look at here. There are going to be all kind of people come, all kind of questions. Oh, it's just a whole bunch. I thank God he never made me a pastor. You might hear people call me that, but I thank God I don't have to do this. But look, when he called you to the office of evangelist, look what happened. Many times you can get up and just strip it from the top to the bottom with the word of God. People looking cross-eyed at you, ain't even looking at them no more. You stop looking at the cross-eyed kind. Folks' mouth ball up. They can't wait to church over with to tell the pastor, you let her in here to rip us like this. Guess what? They can't say nothing to me. I'm gone. I won't be there every Sunday. I won't be there every Wednesday. I'm free. I've been freed. Bishop started out calling me minister. And I graduated. Went on to be ordained as an evangelist. He knew it before I knew it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't care what position you get. We must follow Christ. And look at all these places where he went and the people followed him. And a lot of time the mega ministers, they started off with Jesus. And they start growing, and people from multitudes from all over start coming. That's Jesus. If you start right, he going to grow you. And he won't give you more than you can bear. If I had 1 million people coming every day, I couldn't bear that. Because I'm careful, and I have to watch over what he give me. And I want to be in a position to serve those who he gave me. Sometimes I can't be there, but money will solve it. So he'll bless me with the money to send to solve the problem because I can't get there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you. The Pen Pal Prison Ministry. Many of those people was kicking against the prick to a certain degree. But after he got through teaching, they calmed down and sit back and evaluated things. Because the just, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when you're doing these things, you focusing, you praying, you fasting, you studying. You're going into prayer closet more than once a day. On the job, you working and praying, talking to the Lord about things that don't even concern the job and nobody on the job. It concerns your walk in him. It concerns the people that you want to be blessed. And it may not be your coworkers or your supervisors. It may be your community. It may be your neighbors. Maybe it could be the body of Christ, the house of prayer, where you go and praise and worship. It's concerning some other things. We pray for those that come to Jesus in the morning. We pray for you daily. And on the outskirts of things, I love it, though. I can't help myself. And I like it. I just can't lie about it. When people call me or people text me, pray for me. This and this going on, and I need prayer. Sometimes they don't have to tell me what they need it for. Just pray. Man ought to always pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing. And I often will share this. We have too much to pray for. You're talking about you don't know what to pray for. You got a lot to pray for if you're a fisher of men. If you're following Jesus, he'll give you what to pray for because we don't know. Many times I ask him, Lord, pray through me because I don't know what to pray. God, pray out my mouth. And many days I'd be stunned at what he prayed. I knew it wasn't me. It's never me. I can't do it. I can't even bring you the word. Without God over here, I can't do nothing. I'm not that smart. I'm honest with you. I'm not that smart. It's him. It's not me. I can't take his glory. He deserves it all. Ooh, because what a mighty God we serve. So again this morning, who are we following? Yeah, and it's already all right. Today we want to pray for Nikki. We want to pray for Sister Sherry today. We want to pray for Sister Irene. And we want to pray for Sister Mari, Mom. So we want to pray for healing for all of these people. We're praying for total healing. No medication, no constant doctor visits. We want to pray that God take care of all of it, a total healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know he's able. I have a testimony. Well, look, I'm going to this quick song. And I have a testimony I want to share with you today. Oh, this man, it's a powerful testimony. I like the way he tell it. I like the calmness of him. I know there's Jesus in him, and he's telling the absolute truth. And I love all that kind of carrying on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have a daughter named Robin. You'll hear me talk about that one too often. I call her Miss Robin Mack. And Miss Robin Mack says to me, when I do something she like or cook something and she tastes it and it's real good to her, she'll look at me and say, Ma, I say what? I like that kind of mess. Let me tell you, that used to tickle me so bad. Yeah, she was grown now. She wasn't no little girl because, see, I didn't allow them to say them kind of words when they was a little girl. Yeah. So I like this kind of thing over here. And so we go into this song, and when we come back, I want you to hear this wonderful testimony.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you still feels all hope is faded, the heavy questions hit so hard. truth will be my story. You still reign and you're still God. I will declare that you are winning. Though voices whisper that you're not, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. 'Cause you still reign and you're still God. And fix my eyes upon you, Jesus.
www.JesusInTheMorningRadio.com.
I was spiritually bankrupt. I was morally bankrupt. I was physically bankrupt. I had no hope, nothing to live for, in my opinion. So I was alone in my bedroom. I got my pistol, my 44 Magnum pistol, and I loaded it. And I looked up at the ceiling, just like when I was 12 years old. Except now I was 29, almost 30. I shook my fist again, but this time I said, God, I don't know if you are real. But if you're real, you've got to do something with me or you have got to let me die. I can't make it one more day on this planet. And that night, Jesus came. He picked me up by the back of my neck and held me out over the world and showed me his plan for my life. He didn't ask me to say a sinner's prayer. He didn't ask me anything. And he said, if you'll follow me, I'll do all this through your life. And I said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. A little bit about where I came from. I grew up in a little town up on Lake Erie called Sandusky, Ohio, and had what you would consider a pretty normal childhood. The one trauma in my childhood is I had buck teeth and I was skinny. So I was bullied in school so many times, beat up at the bus stop, going to school with blood on my shirt or a fat lip. And that went on for quite a few years in my childhood. So that bullying had really beat me down as a child and was trying to take my happiness in life. And dad was a fireman. Mom was a nurse. So just come from a good blue collar working class family. They did the best they could to raise us three boys right. Where it all changed for me, I was brought up in church. So we weren't strangers to the gospel and to worship and things like that. But when I was 12 years old, my grandfather, who showed me the most love in my life, he was the world to me. He made me feel so special and so cared for, and he would spend time with me and take me to the movies and ice cream and just was a wonderful, wonderful influence in my life. And so when I was 12 years old, a blizzard came through and dumped, I think, 12 foot of snow in a matter of a few hours' time. And he was on his way home to see my grandmother and got caught in the blizzard. And the next day, my dad, who was a fireman, came home and gathered us up and said, "We found your grandfather. He froze to death in the blizzard last night." I was crushed, just crushed. I remember running upstairs to my bedroom, and I shook my fist at the ceiling. I said, "God, I don't know if you're real, but I hate you. How can you take my grandfather from me? I hate you." I was so hurt and wounded. And there's a lying enemy out there. So even at 12 years old, somehow it convinced me that my grandfather died and went to hell. And I didn't know any different. I didn't know that voice was influencing me. And so I decided at that time, because I had so much pain in my heart, I didn't know how to deal with it. I started smoking pot and drinking when I was 12 years old. By the time I was 15, I was a full-blown alcoholic, just going off the rails, causing my family so much grief, ended up with a running with the bikers. Had a 26-year-old married girlfriend. Her husband tried to kill me a couple times. So I was really in a bad trajectory. I didn't know that the path I was on could kill me, especially when you're a young person. I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof, that nothing could stop me and nothing could harm me. And I had convinced myself that there is no afterlife, that when we die, we take our last breath, we just cease to exist. We're just like we were never here. And so because of that thought and because of New Age influences that I was reading, it gave me the attitude that I could do whatever I wanted in this life, and there was no answer, no accountability. And so that's the path that I was on. When I was 15 years old, in a drunken stupor, an elderly man, we got into a little bit of a altercation, and he came out and slapped me in the face real hard, and I went crazy, and I beat that old man. I pulled his sweater over his head, and I beat him and stomped him with my boots, and I hurt that old man real bad. And the police didn't arrest me because he hit me first, but he was in the hospital for a good while, and then when he came home shortly after that, he died. And when that happened, a spirit settled in on me, a murderous, shameful, condemning spirit. And I just got up under a dark cloud that I could never get out of once that had happened. I had convinced myself that I had murdered that old man, and it was there was no way in my soul I could live with it. So the drugs and alcohol then increased. I ended up getting married at 18 years old and have had two beautiful children right off the bat, but it didn't change my lifestyle any. I was still running wild. I was still running the parties. Nothing was slowing me down. Then at 21 years old, I had a 16-point DUI. It was July 31st, and I guess I was doing 100 miles an hour and hit three parked cars. I don't remember it really, little tiny bits and pieces, and ended up in the hospital, pretty tore up, having serious legal charges against me. While I was in my teenage years, let me not skip this, I was locked up 16 times. I was in and out of the juvenile facility on a regular basis because I was so out of control. My parents didn't know what to do with me. And so, and then I kept getting myself in situations through fighting and partying that would get me locked up. But that this time, when I was 21 years old, I got that DUI that night. And I was pretty beat up in a little hospital stint. And I remember the doctor saying, you had a 0.37 blood alcohol content. 0.4 is a coma. Wow. And shortly after that is death. He said, we don't know how you were even able to drive with that much alcohol in your system. Because I was a serious alcoholic. I drank so much, so fast, blackouts were a regular part of my life. Wake up, not know where my car was, not know where I had been. I would wake up in a town 60 miles away and not know how I got there. So alcohol had a real hold on me. The drugs were bad enough, but the alcohol was a generational curse that had me in its grips. So the doctor said one simple thing, and as a wise guy that I am, I responded to him. He said, do you think maybe you have an alcohol problem? And I said, Doc, I don't have a problem. I'm good at alcohol. Ha, ha, ha. Very funny. But as I was recovering from all those injuries, I had the thought that, you know what? He might be right. Maybe I'll just drink on the weekends. And so I got out of the hospital 2 days later without a drink. I was shaking and having withdrawals, and I got drunk. And I remember thinking, okay, maybe something's wrong. I can't go 2 days without a drink, and I start coming unglued. So that led me through my uncle, who had sobriety, into AA. And from 21 to 30, I was mostly in AA, but because I was not seriously working the program, and I made my higher power something that wasn't real, that couldn't really change my life or save me, I would be sober for a season, a year, 2 years, 3 years. Then I would relapse for a month or two. And in that those short periods of relapse, I would almost die because that would come back with a vengeance on me. Sevenfold increase in the punishment and the agony that would go along with it. But at that point in time, I was trying to get on track, but I was not doing a very good job of it because I was doing it in my own strength, my own power, trying to will myself to be a better person like so many of us do. And then we get to the really good stuff. February 15th, 1997, I was going through divorce number two. I had been working insane hours, got hooked on amphetamines. And so for probably 3 months or so, I was hardly sleeping. I was going 3, 4, 5 days at a time without sleep. And then I would crash for a day and then back at it. I was working 16, 18-hour days. I was trying to pay my attorney. I was trying to pay my alimony. I was trying to pay my child support, my rent, all these things. And so somehow I convinced myself amphetamines aren't a real drug. They just help me stay awake. Well, I got hooked on them. And so at the end of that time, I was so miserable. I was so beat down. I was so out of hope. I really had been convinced that my life was worth nothing. The world would be better off without me. That's what that spirit of suicide will tell you. The world will be better off without you. Your family will be better off without you. Your kids really won't miss you. You just go ahead and take your life and end all of this suffering. What a lie that is, but I believed it. And so that night, I was at the end of my rope. I was spiritually bankrupt. I was morally bankrupt. I was physically bankrupt. I had no hope, nothing to live for, in my opinion. So I was alone in my bedroom. I got my pistol, my 44 Magnum pistol, and I loaded it. And I put it in my mouth, and I remember cocking the hammer back, and I was just starting to pull the trigger, and all of a sudden this thought came into my head. I didn't know at the time, but it was God intervening. I heard this voice say, your children are going to go to your funeral knowing you're in that casket with no head. And that shocked me to stop for a minute and think of the trauma that it would cause my kids to know that I blew my brains out in my bedroom. And so I took the pistol out of my mouth and I looked up at the ceiling, just like when I was 12 years old, except now I was 29, almost 30. And I shook my fist again, but this time I said, God, I don't know if you are real, But if you're real, you've got to do something with me or you have got to let me die. I can't make it one more day on this planet. And thank God he's a living God and a real God and a God that intervenes in the affairs of men and women. Because once I said that, the power of God came down in my bedroom. It's hard to describe it. It was almost like a heavy cloud. It was just this immediate presence that was so powerful. It knocked me to the floor. I remember falling this way, and I remember seeing the gun go the other way, and I hit the floor and was just overcome with the presence of the living God. And that night, Jesus came, and he was standing there with me. And let me tell you, he didn't have to announce himself. He didn't have to say, "It's me, Jesus." As soon as he was in the room and I was in his presence, I knew this is Jesus. He's the King. He's the Lord. But the love, I had never, ever in my life, even from my grandfather, felt love like I felt in that moment. And he picked me up by the back of my neck and held me out over the world and showed me his plan for my life. He didn't ask me to say a sinner's prayer. He didn't ask me anything. He just showed me. And he said, "If you'll follow me, I'll do all this through your life." And I said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." And then he was gone. And the strangest thing happened. Immediately, I was delivered from 3 packs a day of cigarettes, from an alcoholism, from drug abuse, from pornography, all this sin in my life. It was just like in a moment in his presence, it was all wiped clean. I was given a new start in life. I didn't deserve it. I didn't even know that I wanted it. I just knew that from my heart, a real cry went up that if God was real, he would do something. And he loves to come into broken people in desperate situations and change their life. So the next day, I had to go to work, and I was so overwhelmed by what had happened the night before and not really understanding it. I told my boss, I've got to go. I can't work today. And so he let me go. So I went to the church that I was raised in as a kid, had a new pastor that I had never met, and I knocked on the door, and I said, "You don't know me, but I think I met Jesus last night, and I need to talk to somebody." So, of course, leading with that, I did get a very strange look. Like, who is this guy and what are you talking about meeting Jesus? But brought me in, spent about 4 hours talking. I was able to confess my sinful life. I was able to confess everything that had been eating me alive inside. And I was able to say, this is what happened. Jesus came. I met him. I'm a changed man. I feel it. I'm a different creature. I'm not the same way. I'm not thinking the same way. I'm not feeling the same way. And what should I do? And the pastor said, "Well, it does appear, young man, that you have had an encounter with Jesus. So get a Bible, read it every day, come to Wednesday night service and Sunday morning service, and we'll see what God will do." One of the things that really helped me was I was all out for partying and evil when I was in the world. But that didn't get changed in me. I just became all out for God. I mean, I would walk 10 miles in a snowstorm to go to a keg party. How could I not have that kind of attitude for a God that would intervene and save my life and stop me from committing suicide? So I went in full tilt, full circle, and it began a wonderful adventure. Now, I got to tell you, it wasn't easy. As a brand new Christian, I begin witnessing to people in my work and going into the smoking lounges in the lunch room with my pocket New Testament and telling people, "Hey, guess what? I met Jesus. He's real. He's alive. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you that," reading stuff. And I got up under a lot of persecution. People thought maybe I had OD'd on something and gone off the rails. So they were writing things about me and mocking Jesus in the stalls of the bathroom and really giving me a hard time. But I didn't give up. I just was so excited to tell people about this Jesus that changed my life in an instant. I was just telling everybody, whether they wanted to hear it or not. I began to fast and pray on my lunch breaks out behind the plant, praying for all the people in there that I had known for those 12 years, that God would do something in their life like he did mine. And I kept that up for a few months. And then they shifted my job, and there were six of us, and one of the guys I had to work with, I didn't know it, but he was a warlock in a witch's coven. And once I started telling everybody about Jesus, then he started telling everybody about the satanic and the charms and the potions and all the evil, unspeakable, unmentionable things. And so there was a real battle of light and darkness. And as a brand new Christian, I'm glad I didn't understand, because all I did was stay in my word and stay in prayer and stay focused on Jesus. And I prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And one day, probably 6 months later, I was at my workstation and I saw this young man walking towards me. And he had his hands up like this, and he had tears running down his cheeks. And he walked right up to me and said, "What do I have to do to be saved?" See, he was one of the people that was hearing me witness and all my prayers, you know. And so I told him about Jesus, and he gave his heart to the Lord that day. And a few days later, this fella, he had all kinds of chains and amulets and charms and all this stuff, you know, that he felt like gave him power and protection. And I just heard the still small voice of God say, "Just put one finger on his shoulder and tell him Jesus loves him." Okay. So I walked up and I touched him. I said, "Jesus loves you." And he began to scream and yell, "Don't ever touch me. Don't ever, you know, talk to me with that name." And he started to storm away. And as he did, the chains and the amulets broke and were falling on the floor behind him. And I said, "Look." And I pointed, and he saw all his stuff was gone. And the look on his face, all of a sudden he realized everything he believed in lost its power and was laying on the floor. And from that day forward, he could never look me in the eye again. He was like a dog with his tail between his legs. But I was able to tell him every day, "I love you. Jesus loves you. I'm praying for you." So as a brand new Christian, the Lord put me right in the thick of things. But that's okay. God will use anybody that is available and has a heart for him. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be a big shot of some big church. God wants to use everyday, ordinary people. He wants to use the broken and weak things in this world, the despised things. I was all of that. My own mother told me at one point in time, "You're my son and I have to love you, but I don't like you." Wow. My own mother. Because that's how wicked and evil I had become. I was a tornado tearing through everybody's lives. Selfish, self-centered, self-serving. I didn't care about other people. I only cared about what I was doing. But after meeting Jesus, that all changed. How could I not love and serve a God in heaven who's alive, who cared enough to intervene and stop me from committing suicide? And even more so, I had spent 10 years in and out of AA. But I always had this mental obsession. I knew if I drank, it would kill me, but I always wanted to drink. If I watched a football game and saw a beer commercial, it would send me into a tailspin for days of that tug of war. So, you know, even though I was physically sober, I was mentally still bound up, captive, and obsessed. And I couldn't figure out how to put the two together. But once I met Jesus, I didn't have to spend 10 years going to meetings every night. In an instant, he changed me. He is a life-changing Savior. And throughout history, we can look at people and see how God got hold of them and changed their lives. So when he got hold of me and changed my life, I had to tell everybody. And to this day, 27 years later, it's still the greatest joy of my life to tell people about Jesus. So I started out following him in that factory. After a season, they had a big hiring wave, and a bunch of new Christians came in. And there was starting to be prayer meetings and Bible studies during the lunch breaks at work. And I was so excited. And the Lord said to me, I want you to leave everything and follow me. That was a big pill to swallow. My whole family thought I went crazy. And I said, but Jesus is calling me to South Carolina, and I must go. And my poor mother was so worried about me. I said, Mom, if I'm wrong, if I've missed the Lord, and I move to South Carolina and it doesn't work out, I could always come back. There's nothing stopping me from going back. But if I don't go, I've got to live the rest of my life with the regret that maybe I missed something that God was calling me to do. So I didn't know what he was calling me to do. I just know that he was calling me to go. And so I packed up everything, and in May of 98, I moved to South Carolina. I didn't really know anybody here. I didn't have a job lined up. I pretty much gave away all my belongings. I just had a little truck with some stuff in it, and I made the move. One thing that I'm reminded of, a year after I had my encounter with Jesus, I was having coffee with my mother, and something had always bothered me. I said to her, I said, you know, I don't understand. Why did Jesus stop me from pulling that trigger? Every day in this world, people take their lives and nobody stops them. Why me? Why did he stop me? And she just smiled at me and said, I can tell you why. Because for 18 years, every Friday night, your grandmother and I got together and we interceded and prayed for you. And we would ask the Lord, whatever it takes to bring him to his knees, Lord, but please spare his life.
Well,
I had OD'd 3 times. I was left one time in a coma in the back seat of my car in a grocery store parking lot from an OD for 3 days. I had somebody empty a gun at me from about 20 feet away, and I could hear the bullets whizzing by me, and nothing hit me. God had a plan for me, even when I was in ignorance, even when I was in rebellion, even when I really didn't believe there was a God. Even in all of that, his grace and his mercy were so big. So Mom told me, for 18 years, we've been interceding. And when you went to pull that trigger, God answered 18 years of our prayers and intervened. She said, maybe those other people just didn't have anybody committed to praying for them. So I want to encourage you, if you're a mother or grandmother, if anybody in your family, you know, but if you start praying for them and interceding for them, God can change their life. I often think about it. After 3 years of praying and seeing me get worse, they could have given up. After 5 years, they could have said, he ain't changing, I'm done. 10 years, they could have said, we don't see anything happening. We're done praying for him. 15 years, they could have said, there's no reason to continue this. 18 years. So it doesn't matter what you see, what you hear. I want you to know that God hears our prayers. Their intercession for my life caused Jesus to move in the moment. I was at the very gates of hell. If I would have pulled that trigger, I sincerely believe I would have gone into hellfire and torment for eternity in my ignorance. But they were praying, and Jesus answered. So you think about somebody in your life. It doesn't matter how low they go. I was as low as a snake's belly. But it didn't matter to Jesus. We pray in our time. He answers in his time. But don't give up hope praying. So from that time when I moved down here, the Lord began doing a real work in my life. He raised me up in the church. I was faithful and loving Jesus and telling people about Jesus. And he raised me up over time to be a deacon in the church. And then after another period of time, a group of pastors in the area heard that I should be an elder. And they had a service and ordained me as an elder. And Jesus began taking me to the nations. I never in my wildest imagination would have dreamt as a child. I never once laid on my bed and thought that I would be serving Jesus in foreign countries. And that's exactly what he has done. He has sent me to Mexico and Venezuela and Argentina and Korea and Germany and Pakistan. He just keeps opening up opportunities in his timing. And the number one thing I really believe that is the most valuable is overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, by sharing my hope and my change in my life, you need to know that he can do it for you too. He can take whatever train wreck your life is, if you will just sincerely call on him and seek him, he will intervene in your life. He will change your life, and he will take you places. It's not easy. It wasn't always easy. It hasn't been easy, but it's been good. Every day with Jesus gets better and better and better. No matter what I go through, whether I'm suffering persecution or illness or the things, the distractions of this world, Jesus has been the common denominator in it all. I'm so thankful that God saw the state of this world and saw me and knew I was separated from him, and there was nothing in my own power I could do to get right with God. So he sent his only begotten son, Jesus. And at the appropriate time, he came in of a virgin birth, an absolute miracle. He lived on this planet 33 years, and it says he lived a sinless life. Everything he did was father-filtered. Everything he spoke was father-filtered. And the records and the accounts of so many eyewitnesses, even outside of the Bible, that verify Jesus was alive, a real person, that he really did go to the cross. He really suffered that shame. He was really killed and put into a tomb. And 3 days later, he became the firstborn from the dead. He rose with resurrection power. And because of that, it says he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. And when he defeated them, he took the keys from the dark underworld and uses it to set the captives free. And so because of that work, Jesus is alive. I tell you, my friends, you no more than you could convince me this chair I'm sitting on is real. I know that Jesus is real. I know he's alive. And I'm not the only one that he has touched and done these wonderful things for. You know, there's so many people where Jesus has intervened in their life and changed it. And after that, that advice I got was good. I stayed in the church. I stayed in the word. I stayed in prayer. And I didn't try to make things happen. Everything God's done in my life has been through him opening doors. And so now I get to travel and share my testimony. I get to encourage people. I get to preach the gospel all over the place and tell people about the wonderful love of Jesus. A love, if you've never really felt loved, there's a supernatural love, because it says God is love. And Jesus loved us all so much. I was nothing special. I was probably the opposite of special in the world's eyes. But I was special to my Jesus. So special that he came into that bedroom and stopped me from killing myself. So maybe you're out there and your life has been a train wreck. There's hope for you. There's a future for you. There's help for you. Jesus can set the worst sinners free. It says in the Bible that he did great miracles. He healed the sick. He opened the blind eyes. He's caused deaf ears to hear. He's caused crooked bones to grow and an ear cut off to be placed back on. I mean, there's nothing too difficult for him. And it's easy for him to deliver us from our addictions and our sins. We just have to ask him to reach out to him. Again, I was alone in my bedroom. I wasn't in a church service. I wasn't listening to anybody preach. I didn't answer an altar call. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But I was a desperate man, alone in my bedroom, ready to die. And Jesus had the great love to come and intervene and stop me and make my life count for something. And now I'm just so amazed what God has done for me. I've been able to pastor a few churches. Go figure that. That doesn't make sense. But as he continues to shed his love in my heart, I'm able to love people more and more and more just like he does. And I'm able to be part of their lives and help and encourage them and, you know, travel to all these incredible places and see what Jesus is doing. And I will tell you, he's not an American Jesus. He's an international Jesus. Because if I go to Korea, he's there. If I go to Argentina, he's there. No matter where I go, no matter how they pronounce his name, Yesu, Jesu Christo, Asukaname, however it's pronounced, it's the same Jesus doing the same life-changing, life-saving work all over the world. And the bonus to it is, by coming into that relationship with Jesus, I'm promised that I won't go to that hellfire. I'm promised that I won't suffer torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth. I won't have worms crawling in and out of my body for eternity. I am promised that I will be in the kingdom of heaven with Jesus forevermore. And it says that when I take my last breath, it'll be in God's timing, but I don't die. I just go into eternal life with him. And it will be so wonderful. So awesome. And again, it's not because I deserve it. It's because he did the work on the cross. And because he did that work, sinners and wretches like me can be reached and saved. So my hope for you is if you watch this little bit, that it'll cause you to think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. If you've never read your Bible, get a Bible. Start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start reading about Jesus. He will send his Holy Spirit to bear witness and to confirm that he's alive and that he loves us. He will change your life just like he changed mine. So don't compare where you're at with what I went through. I've had people say to me, I wish I could meet Jesus the way you met him. Jesus said, blessed are those who don't see but yet believe. I thoroughly tell people, you wouldn't want to live through what I lived through, to have to meet Jesus the way I met him. It was an absolute horrific train wreck for 18 years. But yet he still cared enough. So it doesn't matter. Maybe you're the kind of person that's been raised in the church and you've never had problems and school has gone well and you've gone to college and you got a great job and a wonderful family. But if you don't know Jesus, none of that will matter when you take your final breath. So many multimillionaires that I have met that are so miserable, all that money can't buy them the peace that I have in Jesus, can't buy them the comfort I have in times of mourning and sorrow. There's no money that can buy these things, only through Jesus. You know, if I had $10 million and took my last breath without Jesus, I would still go to the awful torments of hell and none of it's coming with me. Everything in this world is staying here. It says in the Bible that naked we came into the world and naked we're going to leave it, dust to dust. So we enjoy the things that are around us while we're here, but it's not eternal. Jesus is eternal. Salvation is eternal. The gospel is eternal. So I pray that this will speak to your heart, that somebody out there will hear this and begin to look towards heaven. Because he's there to answer. And don't forget, if you are a believer, pray for those in your family or that are suffering and lost, because Jesus delights in saving by families. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is a generational God. He doesn't want to just save me and leave my family out. He wants to reach all of us. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Give him a chance. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to disclose to you that he's real, that he's alive. And he'll do it. He'll do it. Because out of my desperate cry that night, little did I know my whole eternity, my whole future was going to take a change. And he's done it. And so even as we're sitting here today, this is in a new church location that God sovereignly provided us, and we're in the middle of rehabbing it, and it's going to be a new ministry here in this little town of Utahville, South Carolina. He has his ways. I don't fully understand it. I just know this is a very historic place, and we're honored to be here in a 100-year-old brick horse barn that we're rehabbing, and just so grateful for it. And our heart is, we just want to, and I just want to bless people, help people, feed people, comfort people, give them an opportunity to actually experience the love of Jesus through another human being. You know, when I meet homeless people and I buy them a cheeseburger and a Coke, I just don't leave them with that. I hug them. I don't care how much they stink. And I tell them, Jesus loves you and I love you. And so many times They get tears in their eyes because who knows how long it's been since somebody told them they were loved. But I was that guy sleeping under the bushes sometimes. I was that guy that was desperately wanting to feel loved. So because of Jesus, we get that opportunity to share it. So may this bless you. May it inspire you to seek Jesus. Maybe you've been in a 12-step program in and out for a long time like me. May you come to an understanding of the true God who's a higher power, not one of your own vain imagination like I did. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. So may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you all of your days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a testimony. What a testimony. God is able. He's able. And don't you give up on your family. Don't you write them off. Don't you say it can't be done. It can be done. And if you'll continue to pray and you have others that pray with you for your family, things can change. Things will turn around. We all have some crazy children today. I call them crazy, mine. And they all don't think right. And this world have captured many of them. But in my situation, I know God called all eight of mine. Now, what you do with the calling, that's up to you. I can't work your calling. I have to work mine. But what I know is if I continue to pray, God know he chose them. He called them. So what happened is this. In his perfect timing, when the time is right, he going to change them and turn them around. The same thing for you. In his perfect timing, if you continue to be steadfast, constant, consistent in your prayer for your children, for your family, God will move for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Yeah, he's able. He's able. And I know we talk about our children, and I got friends. I talk about their children. They talk about mine sometimes, and they tell me different things. But this is what I know. We keep praying. We keep praying. Yeah, I've had people to touch and agree with me, and things started changing. I had gotten to the place where I couldn't run up and down the road to see the grandchildren, to see them, to take this, to cook that. And God changed it. He put them in a situation where I wasn't able to go. I didn't need to go. Yeah, prayer changes things. Pray without ceasing. Man ought to always pray and not faint. God hear your prayer the first time. The very first time you say, Father God, and if you say in the name of Jesus even, he hearing, he paying attention. So whatever you tell him the first time, he hears. We just need patience to wait on him. Yeah, we just need to remember to be followers of him. And it all will work together for our good. He know that we love him. And if he saved you, he called you to something. Hallelujah. So listen, we're going to pray out this morning, and we pray. Well, first off, we have a little time, so if anyone has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in and share this morning, because we got some time. So if you want to share this morning, or you might want to tell us how you met the Lord or whatever it is, so feel free to touch that number one. Hallelujah. All right. If not, I will pray us out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live. Oh, yeah. All right now. All right now. All right. Light it up. Light it up. Bam with the 1 minute 907. I got a 954 number. Good morning to you, Sister Dot. God bless you. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Blessings to everyone. I'm blessed. You forgot about the Bible quiz.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. All right. Right after this next person, we going straight to the Bible quiz.
Okay.
All right. God bless you. Good morning, 907. God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am blessed. I am blessed, blessed, blessed. And I just want to say good morning to everybody listening in, and even those folks that will go through and listen to the archives. God bless you in the name of Jesus. So I wanted to quickly say I love that testimony. And I've seen the man's picture, so you never know what someone's gone through, even by looking at them. You know, everybody has a different testimony, but I was listening this morning, and even before the show, I was highly agitated. And, you know, sometimes we get ourselves worked up thinking about, you know, different situations that we're aware of. And I was thinking about my family members and, you know, where they are in their walk or lack thereof with God. And that's their testimony to live. And so I was sitting and just thinking on a few things. And I said, Lord, I'm really agitated. I was like, why are they doing this? Why don't they just come into the fullness of you? And as soon as I had those thoughts, I think I heard you say, you know, continue to pray for our family members and our friends and things like that. And I instantly felt convicted, and I felt like I was judging instead of thinking on whatever was concerning me about them and just praying for them in that moment, which I did do, but I almost felt like it was after the fact. But God will show you, He will show you where you are and what your thoughts are and if it's lined up with what it says in the Word. And so I repented and asked the Lord to forgive me and asked Him to help me not be frustrated, but have hope and know that if He changed me, because I remember Mama telling me, you know, this is the Lord, this is who He is, this is His Son Jesus, but did not live my testimony. And I came in an appointed time, so I thank God for that. So it just reminds me it's never too late. Because when I was in the world, I was in the world. I wasn't there playing games and things. I mean, I was in it to win it. And so the same, you know, veracity that I was living in the world, I want to live for the Lord like that. And I want everybody that I know and love, and even folks I don't know, I want them to experience the Lord too. So it's just about not it being on my time and what I think is best for folks, because I'm not the ruler. I'm not God with Almighty God with all power. I have to stay in my lane and just continue to pray, which is God, what I feel that God has directed me to do in my heart, pray without judgment. And I'm going to do that very thing. So I just thank the Lord for the experience this morning. And as soon as I begin to think in the spirit and not in the natural, instantly the aggravation fled. It left me. And I felt peace and comfort. And just told the Lord, thank you for the ability to make a U-turn in this life. You don't have to stay stuck where you are. I don't have to stay stuck in that frame of mind. I can seek God out, and He can switch any situation around, even for me, because it's my job to pray and uplift and encourage and not judge and love and support. And those are the things that I want to be doing, because I believe it pleases Almighty God. And not only that, I believe that's what He told me to do. So I always want to be in His will and not in my own. So God bless everybody. I love the testimonies that come from this show. I love it, love it, love it. I love Jesus in the morning. And I hope everybody has a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you, Mama.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, baby. All right, Sister Dorothy Goodman, we turn it over to you for our Bible quiz.
The first question is, when Herod put Peter in prison, intending to hand him over to the Jews to be killed, who rescued him? And the answer is the angel of the Lord. And it is found in Acts chapter 12, verse 7. Number 2, 1 and 2 Timothy is written to whom? And the answer is Timothy. And it is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Number 3, where was the land located that God promised to the children of Israel? And the answer is over the river Jordan to the west, and that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 20. Number 4, what did God say should happen to someone who kills another? And that is, he shall be put to death. And that is found in Exodus chapter 21, verse 2. And the last question, number five, is who is God talking to? If ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And the answer is the children of Israel. And that is found in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3.
So was that number five?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we got our five. I thank God for you, Sister Dot, because I truly had forgot about the Bible quiz on Monday. I mean, on Wednesday. And today is Wednesday. And so this is the day that the Bible quiz should be done. So thank God for you. Thank God for your patience and your continuance to be a blessing to Jesus in the morning. And the little things that I've overlooked, Sister Dot, catch it. And it's a blessing unto me. Yeah, it's a true blessing. Yeah, she'll say, you misspell this word. Yeah, and so I thank God for it. Thank God for every testimony today. Because we never know who hear our testimonies. We never know. All right, Sister Jerry, coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm doing well, and how are you?
I am blessed.
I just want to say thank you for that testimony. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you know, some days I feel like I'm having a pity party. So
yes.
Sick, so dear. But then I say to God, all things work together for those who love the Lord.
Yes.
So listen to that man testimony and you coming by the other day, my girlfriend doing my hair. It's the little things God is showing me. I still love you, Jerry. I got you here for a reason.
Man.
I tell you, some things that you be in it don't feel good, but it's for the good of the Lord. So I just want to say thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody, you just got to keep on pushing and keep on believing that Jesus is who he says he is.
Yes,
thank
he
you,
is.
Barbara.
Oh, God bless you, Sister Jerry. Thank you. Thank you. He is. He is who he says he is, and he is a faithful God. I'm telling you, an on-time faithful God all the time. We may go to the left, but he's going to stay right where he's at because he's God.
Yes.
And when we come back to the right, he's right there. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
So we thank him this morning. We thank him. We give him glory. We give God the honor, and we give God the praise. So listen, is there anyone else? We have a few minutes. We have a few minutes. So if there's anyone else, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. God bless you this morning. Good morning to you, Brother Anthony. Good morning to you. I got your message. And say something back to me after, you know, you talk to her, and then I'm going to talk to her later and see what she says. Good morning to you, Sister Irene. Good morning to you, Pastor David in the house today. Good morning to you, Sister Sion. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown. Good morning to you, Sister Jerry again, Sister Dorothy Goodman, and good morning to you, Shantae. God bless you this morning. And Sion, I do miss that baby Kay now. I do miss her. And I wish we could all get together and maybe have a meal or just go out and for coffee and just laugh and talk. And no questions, none of that. You know, we just want to be together and just have a good time. Yeah, I know it was her birthday the other day, and I forgot to mention it because Sister Dot had sent me the memo that it was her birthday, but I got sidetracked somewhere. I got quite a few things going on, and then my brother, they put him in a rehab down the street from me, and I went to see him on Monday, and oh, shucks, he's showing out down there, talking good, eating good, And my niece, Peaches, she was down there with it. That's her dad, one of the twins. And so she was like, oh, yeah, he eating good. He wanted watermelon. I went and got him some. Anything he said he wants, she run out to get it. And so we thank God for that, and I don't feel bad, you know, about not going down there to see him every day. But I'm going to take some checkers and coloring books, and I'll go down there, and he and I will, you know, draw some pictures, color some pictures, play some checkers, and see how that goes. Yeah, God is safe. Listen, saints, I need you to pray for Sister Mari's mom. Pray for a total healing. Pray for Nikki. Pray for Sister Irene this morning. And y'all go ahead and include me in on the prayer today. Pray for me. I truly need it. And because I have much to get done. And like on Monday, I just was not feeling good. I just didn't want to do nothing, but I had to. So I had to get out of here. Got a little sunshine and felt better. Yesterday, I just wasn't feeling it. But today, I'm feeling much better. Got two appointments, and I'm feeling better. These are personal things. And afterwards, then my work will start again. So y'all keep us lifted in prayer, and we will be praying for you. And God bless you this morning. Thank God for each of you. And let me tell y'all something. Keep your mind on Jesus. Watch what happens. Keep your mind on Jesus now. And ask him for anything. Lord, how can I have more money? Lord, what can I do to have more income? Whatever it is you want to ask him. And have patience, and he's going to show me. He showed me through Mike Murdoch. I'm telling you, I used to give Mike the business. Come on now, Mike. That's all you think about is money. God is more than money. And I prayed and asked the Lord, and one morning before day, he woke me up, and that about 4 o'clock, and there was Mike Murdoch. And y'all know I was going to turn him off. And the Lord said, stop, don't do it. Don't, listen, listen. And I began to listen to Mike. And the Lord began to speak. And after that day, ever since then, I've been blessed. Yeah, in ways I never thought I could. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, we're going to pray. And we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Father, I bring every caller and every listener before you, those that's coming through the archives and the podcast this morning. Father, I ask that you would bless them and bless their families, bless their friends, near and far. Father, move for your people today. You can open up windows and pour out blessings we don't have room enough to receive. It's you that can open doors where we didn't even know a door was closed. Father, those that stand in need of finance, bless us this morning financially. The money answers all things. And Father, we want big, big money. Yeah, money makes us happy and money makes us glad. And Father, nobody's mad about us getting money but the devil. And we thank you. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you this morning that you have all power. Send our money angels to go get our money. Send our healing angels to bring our healing. Do it today, O God, in the name of Jesus. Touch and heal us from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet this day. Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No sickness formed against us shall prosper. No disease formed against us shall prosper. Nothing that's not of you shall prosper. For we're more than conquerors through your Son, Christ Jesus, that loves us. Do it for us today. Bless those that are incarcerated, Father, those that are in every branch of our military. Bless the administration of our military today. And, Father, we ask that you would bless widows and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, Israel, Jerusalem, preachers, all our brothers and sisters overseas, everywhere. Father, continue to bless America and the leadership. Have mercy today, O God, and forgive us for all our sins and wrongdoings. In the name of Jesus, give us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within every American in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We can't thank you enough. Bless our going out today. Bless our coming in. And Father, meet the need in our lives again according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. Father, we give you the honor and we give you the praise. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, to his majesty. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, we won't be coming back today. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. May the 8th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. And our last song of the morning, I won't be coming back after this one. Him, he'll be there.